So we begin to learn the details of Hilchos Shechita on Beis and Beis, the first two prakim of Chulin are by Hilchos Shechita. And as you see, different Rishonim have different ways of organizing how to think about what are the major topics in Hilchos Shechita. And it's often the case that the Rambam's organization is very different from the organization of Shas. It's often the case that the way Rehu and Asi arranged the Masechta, details came first, and big principles come later. That's often the case. Sometimes Dinim Drabanan come first, Dinim D'oraisa come later. So it's often the case that the Rambam was trying to put everything into logical order ends up being different than the way the Mishnah and Gemara are structured. Here it's less extreme. The Mishnah is open with the question of who is Roy Tashecht. As you saw, the Rambam lays out, the Rambam organizes the Cheshchita into eight questions that she presents. He doesn't always give you his table of contents. But here, Hilchos Shechita, one of the places where he explicitly gives you his table of contents. After introducing in the first three halachos of Perek Aleph that there is a mitzvah of Shechita, which is what we spend time on, then the Rambam moves, okay, now let's talk about the Pirtei Hilchos Shechita. As you saw, he identifies eight questions. Where on the, what part of the animal's anatomy is involved in Shechita? And then are there any questions in terms of the halachas of the sakim shel shechita, what type of knife you use, what qualifies as a knife, all the dinim of pagam, and how you check a knife before and after, so on and so forth. They'll get to those sikhs in Mirtz Hashem later on in this perek. The third question is when. The fourth question is where. When is a question of, do we care about day versus night? How about shechita b'Shabbos, shechita b'Yom Kippur? The question number four of where, not where in the animal, but a venue for doing the shechita. Any venues are inappropriate, which largely becomes, and that's the beginning of the second parak, the shechita, largely becomes discussion of the Easter of Chulun Ba'azara, and Al HaShecht, non-carbon, in the Beis HaMikdash, and some other dinim as well, in terms of venue. Then finally, it talks about what we think is sort of the core of Hilchos Shechita, Ketzad, Dvarim HaMafsidim, and Mihu HaShochet. Ketzad is what's the process of Shechita look like? How do you actually, what's the procedure? How you handle the knife, how you handle the animal. Dvar HaMafsidim, that's already the third pack of Hilchos Shechita. It's the five, what the Gemara talks about is the five Hilchos Shechita. What differentiates a kosher act of Shechita from a non-kosher, how you define the process of Shechita. We'll get to the Mircham and Daf Tes. And finally, the last item Rambam deals with, the fourth pack of Hilchos Shechita, is what the Masechta starts with, which is, who is Roy Tashecht? Now you might have noticed why the Rambam does this. When you were trying to learn the Mishnah with Rashi, HaKol Shochtin U'Shechitasan K'sheira, the Mishnah says everyone can shecht, and their Shechita is kosher. Everyone can shecht, the Shechita is kosher. Sounds all repetitive. Except for Cheresh Shot V'Katan. Cheresh Shot V'Katan, that's not the case. Why Shem Yekalkul Shechitasan? We'll get to digging more into more detail in a moment. Are lav b'nei das, and as a result, we're more concerned that they may ruin the act of shechita. All the dinim of shechita, they may not do it properly. Okay. And the Mishnah says, okay, we'll get to the end of the Mishnah in a moment. So Rashi really tells us, kol hecha d'taniyah kol kulu maislu b'shmaita kamaisa derech. The first thing Rashi tells me is that language, every once in a while you have this in Mishnah. Everyone, as we said before, early in the morning, who is they? Who's everyone is doing it? Who's everyone? Mishnah are not a teenager. That's Tom say everyone when they mean one person. If the Holy Tanam had something very specific in mind. What were they trying to stress? Is that Rashi tells you, the first sugi in Maseches Erechin talks about, because there as well, the first Mishnah opens the word HaKol, and the Gemara wants to know, when you say HaKol, there's obviously a point you're trying to make. Who's the Chiddush? Who would I have assumed is not included, Kamashmalan, even this category of individual is still included in the Din. So the Gemara there discusses as well, HaKol Shochtin, even whom? Who would I have thought otherwise? And then Rashi says, our Gemara is going to discuss it. HaKol Shochtin Demas Nisin. The Gemara there discusses in general, the Gemara in Erechim surveys many Mishnais. Who's the HaKol? who's the Hakal and Erechin, and here and there. And then Rashi tells us, in terms of our Mishnah, Hakal Shalv and Demas Nisin, Pligi Bar Amaroi Begemara, the Amaroim, over the course of the next couple of blot, will debate what's the chiddush, what's the opening chiddush of our Masechta, what's the opening chiddush of our Mishnah, Hakol Shochtin even whom, Lamar Lasuye Tanim Bechulin, Lamar Lasuye Kusi Omumar. One Amor is going to include this case, one Amor is going to include that case. And some of you already learned the Rashi, you're already like, well, what's a Kusi, what's a Mumar, what do these things mean? And the truth is the Gemara has more details, that more Shitas that Rashi didn't even quote, but we'll get to in the Gemara. And most of these examples involve knowing the rest of Hilchos Shchita. Who's a Kusi? Who's a Mumar? Why is that relevant to Shchita? And the Gemara is going to go on to say, someone who knows these Dinim of Shchita doesn't know those Dinim of Shchita. How much of Hilchos Shchita do you have to know? So you, from the very first Rashi, you begin to appreciate why the Rambam put the question of who last instead of first. Because in many ways, you need to know the rest of Hilchos Shchita, or many parts of Hilchos Shchita, specifically the process, in order to appreciate why we would exclude certain people. As a matter of fact, the Rambam opens the fourth parak of Hilchos Shchita, which is devoted to the question of who's Roi Lishchot, the opening topic of Masechta. The Rambam opens parak Dalet not with the case in our Mishnah. The Rambam with Cher Shavut V'Katan. The Rambam opens parak Dalet by talking about a Jew. You have a Jew who doesn't know all the halachas of Shchita. He knows that these five dinim, so is he right? Is he kosher to Shecht or not? A great question once you know the rest of Hilchos Shchita. And once you appreciate, even within our Mishnah, Shem Yekalkulu Eshchitasan, what's the big deal? Just watch. Is it Shecht or not Shecht? So once you learn more of the process of Shchita, you begin to appreciate there's a tremendous amount of detail that goes into how you set up the knife and how you hold the knife, how you handle the knife. So much detail, some which is easier to notice and some which is much harder to notice. Very little of it is discoverable post facto. In other words, if you're going to look at an animal afterwards but you didn't witness the act of Shchita, rarely can you tell that there were problems, even if there were. Very few problems can be seen. If the shochet used a saw instead of a knife, you'll be able to tell from examining the animal that this was not done with a shchita knife. Everything will be jagged and rough. But most problems in a shchita are not discoverable later just by looking at the animal. And even if you're watching the process, it's sensitive and delicate. But even to appreciate Shem Yekalkul Shchitasan, you really need to know that there are a lot of rules. This is very classic style of Mishnayos, serves sometimes to jump right into one particular topic. The Gemara, beginning of the 8th parak of Bava Basra, talks about it a little bit. But it's not surprising that the Rambam took the opening topic of these two parakim and put them at the end. While, as you saw, the tour does not. The tour opens. He also opens the way we opened, as the Rambam did, first by saying, whatever that means. Hilchos Shchita, for sure. And the Darkei Moshe on the bottom says, by the way, the Rambam says, a mitzvah of Shchita, a mitzvah of Saseh. He already, the Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the page, that's the Rama's comments on the tour. He already brings in our opening sugya. And then, the tour tells you explicitly, Hineni misader hilchoseihin. I am now going to order. The Gemara Chavches says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu Baal Peh Hilchos Shchita. So now let's talk about the Hilchos Shchita. And the tour lays out his table of contents, and he begins with Mi HaRoi Lishchot. He's going to get to everything later. The Kavana, and where, and how, and when. Halachas also is Beno, and how you check the knife, and the Bracha. But he opens with Mi HaRoi Lishchot. He does. He does. He breaks it down to smaller pieces. If you want, we can take a look at it together. Just I think sometimes we're getting stuck on some things. I'm glad to take a look together, and then we'll be ready to go into our sugya. So he says, number one, Miroi Lishot, opening sugya. Number two, Kavanas HaShochet. What does the Shochet have to have in mind? Are the things he needs to have in mind? Are the things that he cannot have in mind? Is there ever a Kavana that could passel? The next topic, Machshava HaPoselas HaShchita. Are there problematic, injurious Machshavas? Number four, b'meh shoftin, what do you use? As in, what sort of knife or tool is right to be sakhin shechita? Number five, masai shoftin, when? Number six, b'eza makam shoftin. Number seven, mihein ha-nishchatin, which animals are fit to be shechted? I think we're up to number eight. Instead of me?
Yeah.
Say in English, it would be poor diction to use who for an animal. You would say which. Like, apparently in medieval Hebrew, we're not as concerned about that. Shalil ha-nimsev b'vehema, that's sort of a subset of the mien and the shatin, is when you find a fetus, is a sheftin animal that's pregnant. A pregnant female. You sheft a pregnant cow, so when the unique din of ben pakua, is sometimes the baby inside is covered by the mother's shechita. It does not need its own shechita. That's the din of shalil ha-nimsev b'vehema. Then he moves on to din that we had a chance to look at a little bit in Ramban on Thursday. Osav es b'no, that din in Chumash Vayikra. It's lav to sheft the parent child the same day.
If there's a fetus inside,
good question. No, that would not be.
And also for pilgrims that would make a puzzle. How would anyone else know?
So if you don't know, we may never know. There may be things we don't know, but often he may say so, or there may be indications. An example, the most obvious example of kavana chosalas. If let's say the fellow, you have a Jew shechting l'shem avodah zarah. It may be very clear because it may be clear from context. He may have even told us he's very proud. Rachman Tzlan, he's a Jew who never fell into avodah zarah, shalom neida, and he's proud to his mind proudly shechting l'shem avodah zarah. So he's shechting this animal to Pa'or, he's shechting this animal to Baal, he's shechting this animal to Zeus. We're going back over 2,000 years ago to the Misyavnim, who adopted Greek culture, and they were proud, Rachman al-Slan, to adopt the mores and religious values of the surrounding culture. So here you have a Jew who is overtly shechting this otherwise kosher cow, l'shem Zeus, l'shem of Avodah Zarah. So that animal is going to be Asur Bahana, because that's a crow's Avodah Zarah.
I'm saying you already would be really shechting.
Okay, so we're just getting started. Are you raising good questions? We're just getting started. Hold on, quick question?
Yeah. Isn't there a mission that says you can test the guy after?
We do sometimes. Yeah, sometimes we do. Bedikas hazaken, how you chuck the knife, which sort of really takes you back to the Bamesh Shochtin. Birkas hashchita, the bracha they make. Bedikas hasimanim. There is a need, the Gemara raises, to check the animal later. Not all psulim are discoverable when you do a post-shechita exam, but some things are. And the koma shechita, the tzava, the location on the neck where the shechita is, which was the beginning of the shechita. For the Rambam. The chamisha hilcha shechita, the five psulim, and finally, Hakisui u Birchaso. Kisi Adam and the Bracha and Kisi Adam, that I believe is Simon Chaf Ches. Both Rishonim, of course, are laying out Hilcha Shechita in the sequence that they plan to deal with them. Both Rishonim are giving you a table of contents. The Tours organization is much closer to this, not 100%, but far closer to the Seder of Maseches Chulin, the Seder of the also as Bino Kisa Adam are separate prakim later, as you know, but the tour largely the tour is following the Rashba, who some of you have as Sefer Rashba. He also wrote a halacha Sefer called Taras Habayis, which largely deals not exclusively, but largely deals with Hilchos Kashrus, and the tour on the first third or half of Yeridaya is built heavily on the Rashba's Taras Habayis. He begins with Hilchos Shechita in more or less this order, not exactly, but more or less this order, and then he moves on to Treifus and so on and so forth, and the tour follows suit. The tour I mentioned this morning was the son of the Rush, Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Asher, was the son of Rabbeinu Asher, the Rush, the end of the period of Baal Yatosos. The Rush, as I mentioned, fled Germany to Spain. Maybe for some other time we can tell the story at great length, maybe even tomorrow on the bus. A remarkable, remarkable, many, many remarkable aspects. The Rush's Rebbe, the Maharam in Rutenberg, and the Rush dies in prison. That's a whole exceptional story. And the Rush flees from Germany to Spain just in time, in advance of the Rheinfleisch massacres, in which the Rush's good friend, fellow Talmud Maharam Rutenberg, the Mordechai, remained in Germany and was caught and killed.
It was published before
in the pogrom. The Mordechai was published after his death, but it was never edited. The Rush survived by fleeing to Spain, where he met, as I mentioned, he met the Rashba. That's a whole other story for another time. The 8 days that the Rush and the Rashba spent together in Barcelona, on the Rush's way down deeper into Spain, to south of Spain, where he ultimately establishes himself in Toledo. So the tour was very impacted by his father. It seems like he learned Shas with his father. Remarkable notion. They went from Brachas to Nida. He got private shiurim from one of the Gedolei Rishonim, his father. That's probably part of what helped him to be. He had a very solid Rebbe. And he was also very mushpa from the Rashba, who was Migdolei Chachmei Sfarad at the time and a contemporary of his father's. So the tour built the beginning of Yeridei largely on the Taurus Habayis. Taurus Habayis itself, unlike the Rambam, Taurus Habayis works from Gemaras. He'll say, the Gemara says this, and Rishonim says this, and he'll handle back and forth. So it's not surprising that the tour, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch, who uses the same organizational scheme as the tour, are going to start, unlike the Rambam, they're going to start Siman Aleph, where the Masechta starts on Daf Beis. So there's a tremendous amount going on in this Mishnah. And again, Rashi begins to point out, HaKol Shochtin Shchitas Nekshera, who is HaKol? The Gemara is going to have several suggestions. Maybe it means an Adam Tameh, we're all Tameh. Where does that leave you? We'll have to see that on Daf Beis. And then the Gemara goes on to other scenarios. Kusi or Mumar are Jews who are not fully observant. Different scenarios of Jews who are not fully observant. And we'll see the Gemara's discussion about that. And then, as I mentioned, the Gemara is going to also talk about situations where he may be observant, but we're not sure how expert he is in Hilcha Shechita, or maybe we haven't seen him practice. So the Gemara is going to draw a lot from these cases. And then you have that mysterious closing line in the Mishnah: the Chul Sheshachtu Achein Roano Son Shchita San Cheir. Everyone, right? All of them who are them, all of them who shechted, and other people were watching. So that's a kasher shchita. Well, we already said everyone can shecht, and the shchita is kasher. So this sounds like it's referring, as the Gemara in the Daf Yud Beis points out, it sounds like we're talking about Chayre Shot V'Katan. They shouldn't shecht, but if they did and people are watching, then it's acceptable. But Rashi tells you, B'Gemara Mefarish Mai V'Chun. The Gemara is going to work on who are they. Again, a lot of mysterious pronouns, a lot of thems and theys in this Mishnah. So as we get to the Gemara in Daf Beis, and later on the Gemara in Daf Yud Beis, we'll begin to unpack a lot of what the Mishnah is being Merames to. That's right. For now, let's begin by looking at the one din the Mishnah was explicit about, the one category of people the Mishnah was explicit about, and that is Cheresh Shota Bekatan, whom you know from elsewhere. This trio, Cheresh Shota Bekatan, appears throughout Shas as the three sorts of people who are not B'nai Deya. This is not even the only place in Mishnah. They appear throughout Shas, they appear throughout Mishnayos. They appear prominently in the opening Mishnah in Chulin. They appear even more prominently in the opening Mishnah in Chagiga. The Mishnah in Chagiga doesn't just mention them. Mishnah Chagiga has a long list, more than 10 types of people who are close to 15, I believe, who are potter from Aliyah L'Regel. That's the opening topic of Mishnah Chagiga, is the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel, that most Jewish men are obligated to go visit Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and to offer at least one carbon ola as an ola sriya, and at least one carbon shlamim is a shalmei chagiga. And that's the opening parak in Masechet Chagiga. But the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, there also opens the question of who. Who is Pater? A long list. Chereshot V'katan, as well as an assortment of other people with other limitations, but because of their limitations, because of their particular category, they are not obligated in Aliyah L'Regel. But leading the list is Cheresh show it to the katan. And there, in Chagiga, the Gemara gets in, it digs more into defining who is the Cheresh, who is the Shota, who are these people that they are not B'nai Deah. In the world of Noshim Nezikim, we often talk of them as not being B'nai Deah, that they cannot contract a kinyan, they cannot take on an obligation.
A katan can
sometimes, maybe Mijabanan, question to what extent Min HaTorah, and they take on a neder, typically it's not binding, except a katan sometimes the last year before Bar Mitzvah. And then also, even if they, not only if they take on a voluntary obligation, but that's the Mishnayos in Bava Kama, maybe you saw last year in Bava Kama, that if they, right, if they're mazik, which is, they're not voluntarily taking on obligation, but if they're mazik, they typically don't have to pay, because in Lav B'nei Chiyuva, Lav B'nei Chiyuva also means that they're not chayiv in mitzvahs. They're not obligated, kata maybe is obligated in drabanan, in mitzvah of chinuch, which perhaps we'll talk about some more, Bulineda, as we get close to Yom Kippur, because that's the primary address of one of the primary addresses of the sugya of Chinuch Tam Mitzvahs is in the last parak of Yuma. But Min HaTorah, they are not chayiv in mitzvahs, not the cheresh, not the shot, not the katam. They cannot get married, they cannot buy and sell typically, because they're lav b'nei deyim. Because they're lav b'nei deyim. So now this, and they all, they, okay. Now the Gemara Chagiga, Gemara there in Chagin Daf Beis and Beis quotes, as you saw, a Mishnah in Trumas. There is no Bavli on Seder Zram as a whole, other than Maseches Brachos, because Seder Zram, probably because Seder Zram was not Nogeh Alach Lamaisa in Bavel. It was Nogeh Alach Lamaisa in Eretz Yisrael. So apparently they spent more time learning Zram in Eretz Yisrael than in Bavel, because of Alach Lamaisa. That's why his Talmud Yerush does running Talmud Yerushalmi all of Zram, not Bavli, because Amram in Bavel, they did not have the opportunity to Mekayim Mitzvah Tluyas Baaretz, which is the topic of Seder Zram outside of Maseches Brachos. So you don't have running Bavli on all of, I think the Chafetz Chaim points out, that they did learn Kachin in a way, to an extent they did not learn Zram. Because you have Bavli on all of Kachin. If that's also not Nogel Lachomai Zuzanza, Meher Yibanam Beis HaMikdash, but until that Beis HaMikdash are not offering Karbanas, and the Chafetz Chaim writes in a kuntris, I think it's Tipis Yeshua, he writes that is halacha l'maisa, because he says kachin, if you learn the dinim, then it's keilu Rishon Parmas Shaseinu keilu you're mekayim. So Mela, learning kachin is halacha l'maisa. So they spent far more time learning kachin in the yeshivas in Bavel than learning Zram or Taras. So they did have running Bavli on kachin, as we do on Moed Nashim Azikim. Rambam writes, we don't have Yerushalmi on Kachim, but the Rambam had it. Apparently it got lost over the ages. The Rambam talks about having five Siddurim of Yerushalmi. Taurus has neither Yerushalmi nor Bavli. So now Zraim, so there's Yerushalmi on Zraim. There's no running Bavli on Zraim, but many times you'll have Mishnais in Zraim or Taurus, individual Mishnais in Zraim or Taurus, that have a Sugya somewhere. There's no Bavli on Trumas, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, but that Mishnah appears in the beginning of Maseches Chagiga, and the Gemara talks about it there. What's going on in Trumas? So the opening Mishnah in Trumas talks about, once again, a question of who. Yet another Masechta that begins a question of who. Who, before we get to how you take Truma, when you take Truma, and from when you take Truma, first question is, who can take Truma? Who can do our fresh Truma? So the Mishnah says, there's five different types of people cannot take Truma, and the first three of those five are Cheresh, Shota, Bekata. And then the Mishnah says, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, Cheresh, Hamadar, Ve'im, Shomeya, Lo Yisrom, Ve'im, Tarm, Truma, So Truma. If the fellow is, this is Mishnayis, Truma's Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, a Jew who is Cheresh me, this is where the Mishnah teaches me, Cheresh, Yedibur, Bechacham, Bechamakam, you don't have your packet where you're not, although it's quoted in Gemara and Chagi, which we'll look at in a moment. The Mishnah tells me there that when the Chachamim say Cheresh b'chol makom, that's self-referential Mishnah. Mishnah points out, we know this term is used all over Mishnayos, so we'll tell you here, and bear it in mind for all the other Mishnayos you can learn as well, when we say Cheresh stam means without specifying, if you say Cheresh, that means eno shomea b'lo medav. He can neither speak nor hear. He's a deaf mute. When you say a cheresh is a lav bardas,
it means he can neither speak nor hear.
But if he's only missing one of the two faculties, he is a bar. He is assumed to be a bar das. He is assumed to be a bar das. As an aside, it's a larger conversation, but in terms of the definitions of Cheresh and Shota, why we assume that to be Lav B'nei Deya, the Gemara in Chagiga talks extensively about how to define a Shota. The Gemara gives different examples. It's clear from all the examples that we're talking about a person who tragically is not in touch, fully in touch with reality. It sounds like a person who's dealing with schizophrenia or some sort of psychosis. Like he's just not really, he's living his own reality. The Gemara talks like that's a shota. Or talks like example of a shota, the fellow sleeps in the cemetery overnight, or he like runs around not clothed in a normal fashion, in a way that indicates that he's not really living the same reality the rest of us are. Rahman al-Islam, tragically. Or he can't, he's not processing reality normally. A cheresh is not dealing with a psychosis, but many posts can assume that the reason why someone who cannot speak and cannot hear is assumed to be a lav bar das is because typically, at least until the advent of Helen Keller and Braille and other advances in how to educate deaf mutes, if you couldn't speak and you couldn't hear, you would grow up with very little contact with the outside world. And typically, that would result in retardation until recently. And many posts can assume that Cheresh is an example of, a prime example of someone who is mentally retarded. Not that he's not connected with reality, but a severe deficit in terms of intelligence. So that's a cheresh who is a lav bar das. That's why there are many tshuvas were written in recent decades. How about if you have someone who's ein medaber ein shomea, but he's been educated using techniques that we have. He's very intelligent. So most posts can assume that we would consider him a bar das. Lahakel and lahachmer. His shchita is fine. He can get married. He's chayav in mitzvahs. He's forbidden to do averus. He's a bar das. I think the predominant view in poskim is that it's not be'etzem. Cheresh is not a siba. Cheresh is a simon, if you like shpray. Not that automatically because you can't hear and speak, therefore you're like not like xeris hakasuv. It's just typically that will be the case. It's not halachically, not elundis a siba, but it is practically a siba. Actually, will cause retardation. Or will be an indicator of retardation, but when it's not, that's not. And there can be developmentally disabled people who can hear and speak and still have the status of a lav bar das. And they still have the status of a cheresh, because lamasa, they have the impact of a cheresh. They are, again, there are many truths that are written, where you draw the line, how much deficit is enough to be considered a lav bar das.
Sometimes you consider a shota?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. They may not be psychotic. They're in touch with reality. They just have a very limited ability to process. So there are postmen who say that's a shota, but there are many postmen who say no. That's the essence of cheresh. Now then, the Mishnah says if you're a medaber ve'eno shomea, if you can, that's the beginning of the Mishnah. Trumas aleph beis, a cheresh who can speak. He can't hear. He's able to speak. He shouldn't take truma, but if he did, it's kosher. Now, if he did, it's kosher. Which part of that is surprising?
Both.
Which part of that surprises you more? That he lechatchila should not take truma. Bidyevet, if he did, and by the way, that's the word lechatchila bidyevet actually mean. Those words don't mean, ideal and not ideal. Lechatchila means batchila, in advance. You're asking me a shaila before the fact, and bidi eved is really pronounced bidi avad, bishe asa,
yeah.
When it was already done. As maybe you know, it's anti-facto and post-fact. You ask me, can I take the truma? No, you cannot. That's a shaila chatchila. If the shaila is, he took the truma, is it valid? That's a shaila bidi eved, bidi avad. So the chatchila he can't, and b'diavad it's kasher. Which one is more surprising based on what you know so far? Which one is more surprising?
So yeah, he's trying to vindicate it's kasher.
Why?
You think if he's not obligated to
any mitzvahs? Ah, except remember, we're talking about Cheresh Hamadaber Be'no Shomea. He can speak, he just can't hear. So he's takanat. Ah, he is a bardas. So it's not surprising, Shimon Sar Truma. What's surprising is to begin the Mishnah, that the Chachila can't. What's wrong? He's a bardas the same way I am. He's the same way I am. So we're going to see that that really is an issue of, if you're a Medaber, excuse me, if you are a. We're going to see tomorrow, and we'll get into the Gemara and Chagiga, what's even the problem with Chathchila, with the Medaber Ve'eno Shomea, with the Medaber Ve'eno Shomea taking Truma, and that's going to bring us back to, that's going to bring us into the Sugya in Chagiga, and that will in turn bring us to Machlokas Rishonim, in terms of what is the status with Chulin, with Shechitas Chulin, and the Rosh's Diak and the Ram.